The following programming is sponsored by Bruce Grossinger. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
The Sports Doctor is on the air. Dr. Bruce Grossinger with Rover Sports Tuesday evenings at 7:30 on WWDB. Dr. Bruce and the Rover crew blend sports and pop culture to keep you entertained and thinking. Brought to you by the Philadelphia Regenerative Medicine and Stem Cell Institute, where Dr. Grossinger and his team help athletes and chronic pain sufferers heal faster and stronger, often without the need for drugs or surgery. Visit online at phillysportsdoc.com and tune in to WWDB Tuesday nights at 7:30 for Rover Sports.
Welcome into Rover Sports. We're here on a Tuesday night. There's a lot to unpack here. We're doing a simulcast live on Bruce Grossinger Facebook, and we are live on 97.2 HD2. We are with Josh Dacey. We are with Colin Newby, Matthew Vito, and a somewhat distracted Spencer G is here, and that's beautiful as we sit atop downtown Nashville. No, we're not actually there. We're not Josh Pate. We are here sitting atop a beautiful perch in Bala Cynwyd, Pennsylvania, and yesterday was quite a surprise. When I left the game in order to set up for my postgame show, it was just a few minutes away from the end of the game, and I was confident the Eagles were going to win. The Falcons had a minute and 43 seconds left with no timeouts, and the improbable occurred. Josh, you saw the game. There's a lot to talk about here in the next 20 minutes before we get to our fearless picks. There's a lot to unpack, a lot to be discouraged about. Let's get your take right off the bat.
I thought the defense was terrible. I thought you open up with the defense, and you know, it's just amazing that how bad that they couldn't stop any. This is Kirk Cousins. They made the last drive, Doc, look like he was Patrick Mahomes. There was no pressure whatsoever. It seemed like they were playing a cover two the entire time. They weren't pressing the receivers at all. They gave them the entire field. It was like a prevent. There was a defense they call the prevent defense. It was like prevent to win. There was no activity. That was absolutely terrible. I thought, you know, with regard to Atlanta, third and one, Doc, they have no timeouts left. If they hand the ball off and they don't get it, so what, you run it again and they're that deep. The clock will be under like 30 seconds left. But they gave the Falcons full time. That defense, Bijan Robinson gashed them the entire time last night, averaging almost 8 yards a carry.
Right. Spencer, you saw the game and you saw a lot of replay. You've watched some of the tape.
Mm-hmm.
Taking the game as a whole, obviously the last bit of the game was part of it, but nonetheless, there's a lot to, you know, the Eagles offense, even though they seem to score, they seem to basically accumulate a lot of yards with Saquon Barkley, and Hurts himself finally looked like he was running to the same level as before the injury. Somehow it did translate into points, and In the first quarter, the Eagles had a chance to get a field goal, but instead went for it on fourth and four and missed. And those 3 points would have looked very good at the end. It's easy to be a Monday morning quarterback. Your view of the game?
Yeah, I think that Atlanta, you know, I think they really played the game that they wanted to play. I think that there wasn't a lot of urgency with the Eagles in terms of offensively or defensively. Offensively, they didn't hit any pass plays over 25 yards, I'm going to say, the entire game. Maybe to Devontae Smith was the longest pass play, and that was off of a broken play. I don't think that Kellen Moore gave Jalen Hurts, like when Atlanta would rush three guys, Hurts would be back there for like 7 seconds, and he didn't have like any safety valve to get rid of the ball. I just thought that he looked unorganized at points. I thought that when Atlanta would put all their guys back, I thought Hurts was indecisive. You know, he didn't know what he wanted to do. He ran the ball well, but there were no explosive or flashy pass plays. Dotson I think he's very far away from being a factor. I mean, they didn't even throw his way. Britton Covey did have a career game, so he was the bright spot. The Eagles did enough to win the game. But like Josh said, like that final drive, Kirk Cousins was pretty much just unflappable. He didn't face any pressure in the pocket. You only had one sack, and that was the Milton Williams play. So the Eagles' defense, they didn't really create a lot of negative plays. They didn't create a lot of splash plays behind the line of scrimmage. They played bend, not break, and Atlanta was willing to do that. And that's why you saw a game that was not a lot of possessions, but a game where there wasn't a lot of punting either, but it was who was going to break in the red zone type of game. The Eagles didn't take the game to Atlanta at all. They didn't make Kirk uncomfortable. They didn't bring blitzes, really. You know, the Eagles just sat back, and I wish that they would have maybe brought more exotic pressures.
That's true, and certainly watching the game and also listening to a lot of the critique around the city for people we trust, like the Seth Joyners, the Michael Barkans, the exasperation, the frustration certainly pervades the fans as well. From anybody who saw the game, people don't even want to talk about it, and I understand that because it was so shocking. The takeaways I have just before we lead into Charlie is that there was virtually no pass rush in that game. Bryce Huff, $51 million. The big acquisition from the Jets was basically invisible. He did nothing. I didn't even know he was on the field. And Josh Sweat, a guy we interviewed 2 years ago, is a guy who's a very thin guy. And the thing about Huff and Sweat, they're both rather thin guys. Their only move is to do just a straight rush, or I would say not even a straight rush, but an outside rush. And these big guards, what did they do? They just pushed them out there. And I think his name is Chris Lindholm, who is the guard. He's an all-pro guard for the Falcons. Not only did he do a great job of protecting against the pass rush, but he also rubbed out Zach Bond. He rubbed him out. I saw five replays where Lindholm, I'm pretty sure that's his name.
Lindstrom.
I know it's a
from
Scandinavian
Boston College.
Game. It's a Scandinavian. Lindstrom.
Chris Lindstrom.
This guy was amazing. He pancaked Zach Bond five times and just opened a massive hole. And I think that basically the Falcons could have ran the whole time. They didn't have to pass at all.
Was the guy from LSU, was Devin White available yesterday?
No.
Why is he hurt?
They claimed he's still hurt.
Yes.
Oh, so he was inactive.
I want to throw it to Charlie Bowles. Oh. Charlie, you watched that game. You saw the whole tenor of the game. It almost looked like the game was in molasses. It looked like an old-time game. Very low scoring. Just like many of the games in the NFL, a lot of field goals, not a lot of touchdowns. You saw the end of the game. What? From an impartial viewer, what did you take away from that Eagles game?
Well, I think it's total mission failure. It started with not taking the field goal in the beginning of the game. I don't know where the game has gotten, where people are going for it on fourth down every time. I just don't understand it. You always take the points in the first half. I love to blame Quinyon Mitchell, who got toasted, or Darius Slay, if I was an Eagle fan, but you can't. Any quarterback, any mediocre quarterback in the NFL will pick apart a secondary if you give him enough time. The lack of pressure, as you said, was the difference in the game. Kirk Cousins, again, with his Achilles, you figure they put some pressure on him to make him uncomfortable. I think it comes down to coaching. Terrible game plan, terrible execution. If they don't fix this D-line in a hurry, again, they're going absolutely nowhere. But luckily, the NFL is a week-to-week league. You'll see by teams like the Raiders, you know, who came back, the Bengals, who played well. We'll see what happens this week in the adjustments. I'm not ready to put kill the Eagles season, but they have a lot to show this Sunday when they come back in New Orleans.
Yeah, they sure do. And I watched a game that pleased me greatly, and that was a New Orleans Saints game against the Cowboys. We'll get to that. You haven't talked much about the offense. So Jalen Hurts, the offense to me looked really stale yesterday. The fact that you had Saquon Barkley, who was really doing it himself, he got average blocking. It wasn't great blocking. It wasn't horrible. But he was spinning. He was twirling, you know, incredibly. And he had a great game. And he dropped one pass, and it happens, you know. In the field of sports, you know, there are guys that just look away for a second. He probably was looking to the first down, and just it everything moved so fast that he just took his eye off the ball and missed it. But it doesn't discount the fact that he had a wonderful game. And Jalen Hurts, too. I mean, Jalen Hurts basically put the game on his shoulders, you know, to use that old cliche. and ran and broke tackles and was very brave. And he didn't look, you know, he got hit a lot. So, you know, yes, he threw that final desperation play down the middle when the time was running out. And that happens with desperation play. There's no timeouts.
Right.
And he could have thrown underneath to Britton Covey, and everybody's saying that he could have, and they're destroying him for that.
Right.
But instead, he threw the ball into coverage. But that's not why they lost the game. And they lost the game because, in my view, when there's a minute 43 seconds left, Kirk Cousins on the 30-yard line, you're letting him drive 70 yards, and those receivers are wide open. They're not rushing. They're not taking any chances at all. And it just seemed like a lot to criticize with Vic Fangio. You know, and obviously Seth Joyner and Derek Gunn and Frazetta, and even, of course, Barkhead, all the usual people that critique, and Jeff McClain, like, they all have a consensus. And Dr. Lewis isn't here, but he was part of an Elite Eight tech stream, and a lot of great comments from Dr. Lewis about who's really at fault. So I'm going to throw it kind of around the horn a little bit. I'm starting with Josh. Who's more at fault in that game? Is it, we have to take a station break. We are Rover Sports, top of the hour, station break. Here we are.
WWDB 860 AM Philadelphia and WPEN HD2 Burlington, Philadelphia.
Yes, we start a little bit late tonight. That's the bad news. The good news is you're going to get a very condensed, you're going to get very concentrated stuff. It's like one of those blue cheeses, you know, it's very concentrated.
I like
throw a nice Throw a nice red wine in there, because this you're going to be getting a lot of action here.
Some wings, some buffalo wings.
So the question is, as started, some buffalo wings and some hot sauce, in your case, mild sauce.
Yes.
But in any event, the question is, who is more at fault, the players or the coaches? I want to hear individual answers.
Well, I mean, I think you have to coach these kids up, the guys up. They're professionals, and they should be held accountable. But you have Vic Fangio and Kellen Moore, who was supposed to be this great offensive innovator. And it's ironic because the LA Chargers, they're 2-0 without Kellen Moore. Kellen Moore's here, and everyone's all excited about it. But that offense, and I know you don't have A.J. Brown, who's a deep threat, but you've got solid guys, and you've got Goddard, and you've got Devontae Smith, and you've got other players that can step up. You got to make Dotson a viable source. You went out and traded for him, so I think the coaches have to be held accountable.
Right. And just to talk about Dotson briefly, Dotson plays the slot.
Yeah.
And one of the big critiques is they didn't use the middle of the field. The Atlanta Falcons played a wide nine. They were, remember Washburn?
Yeah.
They played the wide nine. There was a tremendous hole in the middle. And that's why Jalen Hurts was able to run through the middle. And Barkley was able to run through the middle. They were daring the Eagles to run slant plays. Yeah. And Dotson, as you know, Penn State grad, his whole thing is a slot receiver. And Jalen Hurts didn't either trust him enough to throw to him, or the coaches didn't put him in a position. So Dotson only caught one ball, and that one ball was a nice play. Yep. And again, one thing that Seth Joyner said that was, welcome to Judge Stokes. Thanks for logging on. The one thing Joyner said is it took him 2 years to really feel comfortable with the players around him. And Jalen Hurts, it took him a while to be comfortable with Goddard, A.J. Brown, and Smith. And to expect him to feel comfortable immediately within 1 week, on a short week even, with Dotson, yeah, with Jahan Dotson, you know, so there, that's realistic part of it. Hopefully he'll be more comfortable with him. But just to see all that space in the middle of the field was really wasted. And, you know, obviously Smith had a great game, as he always does. You really had to rely on him. Goddard really, one thing Seth said, I'm referring to Seth Joyner, he said if he was Goddard's agent, you know, he would quietly say, I need to get out of Philly, because they didn't throw to him at all last year. They threw to him once last night. He's a talent, but if you don't use him at all, the reality is if you don't have any stats and you're not being used, what happens? You take your talents to South Beach, right? Right. In the words of Benjamin Simmons. Spencer?
Yeah, I mean, I think that also you could look at the blame as maybe Howie Roseman, like maybe the talent, because last year you had a defensive coordinator and Matt Patricia and Sean Desai They weren't that good, so you brought in the most experienced defensive coordinator, a guy that's been good for 10 to 15 years in Vic Fangio. Now, I wasn't as high on Fangio. I told you, I think he lost his fastball. I think that this guy's like, he reminds me of Sean Payton. I think Sean Payton is also stale, old, and the game has passed him by. Now, look at Vic Fangio. He had all that talent in Miami. There's a reason that Miami was okay moving off of him, because I didn't think he was that good. Now, I also think that these Georgia players, like Nolan Smith, was on no one's radar late in the first round. They said this guy is an injury problem, and he's not that good. N'Kobe Dean also lasted to the third round. Jalen Carter, big red flag because of the Georgia, the speeding ticket, wasn't selected either. Jordan Davis. So these guys have to produce. These are first-round picks. They have to be good. Jahan Dotson, you gave up a third-rounder for him, just like Byard. So Howie Roseman gives up third-round picks all the time. He brought that safety from Tennessee. He was terrible. He wasted a third-round pick. Okay, Saquon Barkley needs to be a star because you're paying him $15 million. You could have used that money to sign three more defensive players. Okay, so that's the thing. This offense, you have Saquon Barkley. They don't really have great linebackers on this team. I mean, Zach Bond is a free agent. Same with the guy from LSU. So it's a combination. They don't have a lot of talent. Brandon Graham is old. Milton Williams is okay. I just think that this offense, when you look at this team, it's an offensive team, and the defense is going to have to come along. The offense is where the talent is. The defense is void of lots of talent.
I think you're right there. And looking at the offense there, it just didn't look like there was a lot of motion. It looks like they put all their preparation to that Packers game. The Packers game looked different to me. That game yesterday, it looked like they were looking past the Falcons, and they're probably beginning to prepare for the Saints and, of course, the Buccaneers. They're going to be two really tough games, and obviously we'll be getting into that. But the fact is, Howie whiffed on a lot of these defensive players. Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis have been very disappointing. They haven't been impact players. And, of course, N'Kobe Dean, he's supposed to be able to come in and rush the passer. They didn't have him do that. There was no blitzes yesterday. They had four linemen. It was very predictable. They had no pass rush at all. There was no blitz. And the Falcons were able to run all over them all night. Mm. Even Algiers is an older guy. Like, he's not a young guy. He's around 32. When he came in as a change of pace, he was running just as well. And the Falcons just looked in control. And Kirk Cousins, again, I tore my Achilles in 1997. It took me 2 years to get back to normal. And they didn't make him run at all. He didn't run at all. He didn't have to. He had plenty of room in the pocket. He was totally comfortable. So if you have a professional quarterback like Cousins and you give him all the time in the world, he's going to be able to pitch and catch. And he did that all night.
He did that
a
little bit.
And those receivers were very adequate. Yep. That Moody was good. That guy, Ray, what's his last name?
Cousins only had, he didn't throw for that many yards until the last drive. I mean, let's face it. The Falcons' red zone offense was still not that great
last
night.
Well, the point is they were running so well. What was their running game? What did they have?
Well, Robinson, they had 152 total. Robinson was 14 carries for 97 yards.
Okay. So that might have been Robinson's best game that he's ever had.
Yeah, he played well in parts. He really did. And he had some of those explosive plays. Somehow the Eagles still could have won that game ugly, and maybe it's A.J. Brown why Kellen Moore isn't creative. Like, I push back to the Chargers are 2-0. The Chargers are 2-0 because they're playing Carolina. Like, Kellen Moore is an absolute star. Like, the Giants would kill to have a Kellen Moore right now instead of a Brian
Charlie,
Dable.
I want to talk about Nick Sirianni, okay? Nick Sirianni, it was certainly very equivocal that he would even be rehired for this year. They brought in two different coordinators. Sirianni still, if you listen, you know, he's still kind of a goofy. He's goofy. His answers to the post game, on the post game show about his basis for doing things, doesn't seem very sound. There are a lot of people really souring on him even more. And we're looking, here's a hypothetical. If they lose the next two games, they're going to be 1-3. And there's going to be a lot of angry people. And I think it's very possible they could lose in New Orleans against a team that just looks great. Yep. That looks like the most improved team with With Clint
Kubiak.
That is just a brilliant offense. Just the way they react to everything. Whenever the Cowboys made a move, it was a chess game. Checkmate every single play. It was a thing of beauty. They scored five straight drives for touchdowns, 35 points. You just don't see that in the NFL, especially this year. What are your thoughts about his job security, Charlie? Could you see them literally firing him in the middle of the season?
Actually, David Carr scored on his first 15 drives this year. If things go south quick and they're, 1-3, 1-4, I think they'll give him a chance to rebound. Again, this the NFL is the overreaction league where everyone, look what happens week to week. I think you got to give it a little bit more time. I didn't like the way he threw his coordinator under the bus, talking about the play calling. Although the play calling was atrocious, you got two all pro safeties. You should have been throwing out to the sidelines more, not down. There's a reason people weren't open because they have two all pro safeties shutting people down. So I think both coordinators called terrible games, but it's one game. If they run the ball on third down, you don't have that outcome. It's that simple. You're down to about 38 seconds. Game's over. The play calling, if you're going to kick a field goal, you run the ball there, period, end of story. If you're going to go for a touchdown, you throw the ball. They made two bad play calls there. So, the fans are going to get all over him, so management might make him the scapegoat. If they lose, I wouldn't say another game, but if they go 1-4, 1-5, yeah, maybe.
Yeah, and I think the schedule just is not friendly. I see them as having very difficult away games. Going away to Baltimore. And going away to Los Angeles, traveling across the country. Again, Los Angeles, it's an up-and-down league. They look terrible this week. But nonetheless, you can see them losing to Baltimore. You can see them going away to Cincinnati. The schedule just in the home games against, I believe, Carolina and the Jaguars, I could see them being easily 500 or less at the break. And people are really, it wasn't totally unexpected that they lost the game because I saw that they just couldn't score points last night. And frankly, the Eagles, they have great fans, but the game was boring to watch. It was boring, and it was not loud. So I'm not blaming the fans, but the first half, I think the volume of the game didn't feel like a Monday night game. It didn't feel like the home opener. You were there at the game,
Spencer. I don't
think
it's boring. You said it was old school. It just wasn't.
There wasn't a lot of exciting plays.
There was a lot of running the ball, but I think that's a subjective. That's totally subjective. I thought it was fine excitement. Do you need a lot of passing?
I'll just tell you, my observation was that it was not, it just didn't feel, it didn't feel like they were winning, and they weren't. It was a very close game, and it didn't shock me. I wasn't as angry. I've gotten angry. I'm a big Eagles fan. I wasn't totally shocked or angry. Maybe because I saw what they were last year. I just didn't feel emotionally destroyed by it. Maybe I should. Josh, what were your feelings?
The 2-8 in the last 10, okay? This team, I got home. I had a business meeting. I got home end of the first quarter. I couldn't believe it was 0-0. And for opening night at the link, okay, you would expect fireworks and energy, and it looked exactly like you said. It was zapped out. There seemed like there was no energy from the Eagles fan, And you look at Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts is pretty much carrying that team. Took a lot of hits last night, and he ran the ball.
He sure
a lot.
Did. And you can't play it if you 17 game season. It's you point out, Spencer, when you have a 17 game season. But I really, what we could talk about the Eagles because we have a truncated show tonight. I want to drive right into the fearless picks and still give some basis for picking because that's why
absolutely
people don't want to just hear a pick without any basis. And we're going to drive right into it. We're going to have Josh lead us right into the abyss. Here we go.
Charlie, congratulations. You were the only one in the money zone last night. You went 5-1. Everybody else was.
Congratulations, Charlie.
Everyone else is well below the Mendoza line. All right, Spencer, we're going to open up with a 1-1 New England Patriots who just cut Nelson Aguilar taking on the New York Jets, who are also 1-1. The Jets are giving up 6.5 at home. Where are you starting?
6.5.
I think that the Patriots can cover. I think that the Jets will win this game, but the Patriots, the key for them is they got to run the ball. If they run the ball and keep Jacoby Brissett in third and shorts, they're going to be okay. The Patriots' back end, I know it got exposed by Seattle a little bit, but they looked decent at home against Seattle. So I think that the Patriots, to start off the season, have quietly been a nice surprise. And I think that they can keep this game competitive against the Jets.
Okay, I watched both Jets games. I think Aaron Rodgers is getting much better. He's knocked the rust off. I believe that there will be a great home crowd, unlike, you know, not saying it wasn't a good home crowd last night, but it was just quiet. And I think that the Patriots, a big rivalry, and the Patriots have destroyed the Jets for so many years. This is a real rivalry game, a real revenge game for the last few decades. And I'm just feeling the Jets, and I'll give away those points to the Patriots. I'm not a Brissett fan. I don't believe in him. Josh?
Doc, I like the way you think. I think Aaron Rodgers, and this is a big game for the Jets, and I think they're going to just say, you know what, you've had your time, you're in rebuild mode, so we're going to with Alan Lazard, the running back haul. I like where you're headed.
Colin?
I think the Patriots can cover an ugly Thursday night game, plus 6.5. I'll take New England.
Charlie?
Very low scoring game, kind of a 21-17 final. I think New England covers just because I think it's low scoring.
So, Charlie, you would probably look at the under in that game more so even than the game itself?
Yeah, it's going to be over-under's low.
Is it 34?
It's a low number.
I have 40.5.
Yeah. You have 40?
40.5.
I don't think so. Let me see. I have 38.5. 30.5.
Okay.
All righty.
That looks pretty good, honestly. Well, it depends if the Jets will run the ball.
Game two.
Okay, game two. We got Chicago, who looks pretty good. They're 1-1. They look pretty good. They fought Houston pretty good last week, and they're traveling to Indianapolis. Indianapolis, remarkably, is 0-2, and they're putting up decent numbers. They got Pittman who's playing well. They got Anthony Richardson who struggled last week, but they've got some good players on that team.
Chicago's getting points, I would think.
They're getting 1 point.
1 point?
Yeah.
So, Josh, did you see any of that Bears-Texans game?
I did.
But Caleb looked like a mess. I mean, they were sacking him relentlessly. I thought the Texans looked like they were 20 points better. I thought that the Bears were – I thought that it was a miracle that the Bears covered. So, with that being said, I really think Indianapolis needs the game. I expect Richardson to play a lot better, just like he did in week one. Jonathan Taylor's going to run the rock. I really like this pick. I think that I love the Colts here at home winning this game.
Okay. So I would say I watched the Bears game. I didn't think Williams was as bad as you said he was. I thought he looked really strong in the pocket. He shows really good leadership quality. And I thought the Bears defense looked for real. I think the Colts are just an average team. And I think the Bears, after, you know, they're due for a win. And it's not the same Bears I've always seen. So I'm feeling the Bears. I have to say, I've never said this before. I actually like the Bears. I actually root for them. And I'm not sure that's ever happened. Go ahead, Josh.
Doc, as much as I agree with everything you said, I think Indianapolis has just too much firepower. I really do. I love Anthony Richardson. I think they're going to bounce back. And I'll take the Colts and give them -1.
Sure. Colin.
I want to give Caleb Williams a little positivity here. I'll go Bears outright.
Charlie?
Bears' offensive line is horrendous. Their defense is solid, as you saw Sunday. I think the Bears, another low-scoring game, I think the Bears pulled out.
Okay.
All right, game three. Houston travels to Houston 2-0, travels to Minnesota, who's also probably the biggest surprise 2-0 team, even though they have Justin Jefferson. They got good quarterback play, seems to be going. But Minnesota's given up 2.5. You, Spencer, where are we going?
So the Vikings are favored.
The Vikings are getting 2.
Oh, so Houston. This is not an easy game to predict. The key is going to be if Justin Jefferson plays. Now, Sam Darnold has been efficient. It just shows.
Is he hurt? Would you say played?
Justin Jefferson hurt his quad last week. He sat out the second half, but he's day-to-day. Jordan Addison, it depends if he comes back. I'm really impressed with Houston running the football. I'm impressed with C.J. Stroud. However, Minnesota's defense has also looked absolutely fantastic. I would stay away from this game, but in the dome, I'm actually going to go Minnesota. A little upset here. I'm going to go with the Vikings.
Okay. So I've been watching the teams a lot. The usage has gotten better and better. Minnesota, they're 2-0, like you said. They're due for a loss. And I believe Houston is for real. And looking at that, C.J. Stroud just looks so good to me. He's so in charge. It's easy to play in the dome there. The fans aren't that loud. I mean, they're good fans, but they're not super loud. So I'm going to take Houston in that particular game.
I also like Houston. I like C.J. Stroud. I like Nico Collins. I love their kicker, Cam Fairborn, who's just averaging almost 17 points a game on his own. So I love Houston in this one.
Colin?
I like Houston here, too.
Charlie?
Minnesota's defense against San Francisco was very impressive. Their home first, second week in a row, I think Minnesota wins.
Okay.
Covers.
Okay, so then we got game
number. This is game four?
Game four.
We're moving. This is great. We're moving at
we're
great
moving
pace.
Beautifully.
With some good analysis. Some,
I can't wait.
Some hot takes.
Yeah, I can't. I love the NFL. I think it's easier than college football this week.
Okay, we're down to 5 minutes, so we're rolling. Here we go.
L.A. Chargers. Jim Harbaugh, 2-0, travels to Pittsburgh, who might be the most, you know, surprised 2-0 team. Their offense looks sputtering, even though they got Justin Fields, but they're running the ball efficiently. The LA's traveling across the country. They're getting 2 points.
Bruce, quickly, I'll tell you as a prelude to this game. The Steelers have won 2 games.
We
how many touchdowns?
Get to the
how many touch,
time for appetizers,
how many
bro.
Touchdowns have the Steelers scored in 2 games?
And I wouldn't
just
even
guess.
Think.
Guess.
I'm not guessing.
One touchdown in 2 games. So you think the Eagles offense is not good?
Arthur Smith, that's your boy.
Yeah,
I love how they're running the ball. Fields is getting better and better. Last week, they pretty much put Fields in witness protection. I'm going with this is going to be such a fun game, like low scoring, hard hitting. Like, this is the football I love to watch. Harbaugh versus Steelers. I'm going with Pittsburgh. Is Pittsburgh a -1 favorite here? It should be a pick 'em, right?
No. The Chargers are getting 2.
Oh, the Chargers are favored. Okay, yes. Yeah, Steelers.
The Chargers are getting 2.
Steelers outright. Steelers outright.
Okay, not to mirror what you're saying, but you have a lot. Pittsburgh has wonderful fans. They're due. They grind it out. I still think traveling across the country is a factor, so I'm taking the Steelers in this particular game.
J.K. Dobbins plays solid. Justin Herbert's looking good. They're finding receivers. I'm going with the Chargers.
Colin?
I like the Chargers outright.
Charlie?
The Chargers are actually staying in Carolina this week. They did not go back home. Very low-scoring game.
Only you would know that. That's beautiful.
Better quarterback, Chargers. I love the Steelers. Tough to say. But
I know, and it's hard because you're rooting.
It's been so much fun with Najee Harris and
all right,
Porter.
Game five, Detroit travels to Arizona. Arizona looked pretty good last week. Kyler Murray was distributing the ball. Marvin Harrison looked good. Trace McBride. They're getting some running backs. They're getting the running backs going. Detroit played solid last week again. So Detroit's getting 3 at Arizona. Spencer.
Arizona's, my favorite team like this year to watch. I think Detroit's so overrated. I even think Minnesota's winning that division. I love Arizona to win by double digits. I think Arizona makes a statement.
Well, I think that Arizona will win and cover the game. What I've seen from them is remarkable, and Gannon is a guy we obviously trashed here. In retrospect, probably not the best idea. I'm taking Arizona as well. Josh?
I guess, it's funny. I have Kyler on my team, and I also have Trace McBride, so I get to ride them. So
riding those cards.
That's right.
Go ahead, Colin.
I like Detroit to cover.
Charlie?
I think Detroit comes back. I think Detroit looked really bad last week. Jake Goff was exposed. But I do think they right the ship. I think Murray played excellent last week, perfect rating. But things usually go back to their center, and I think that Detroit will get it right this week.
So the game of the week, of course, is Eagles at Saints. What is the line?
Eagles getting 3.
Eagles getting 3. Spence?
You would have thought, if you just took the pulse of this town, you'd think the Eagles were getting at least 6.5. You think that there's no chance against the crazy Saints. But guess what? The Saints have only had 1 good game. The first game, they played a double-A high school team in the Carolina Panthers. The Saints had 1 good game. It's Derek Carr. It resorts back to the mean. The Eagles are the better roster. The Eagles are going to find a way and win and cover the game at least.
I've seen a lot of the same stench of what haunted the Eagles last year. Lack of defense, no pass rush, having to rely on Saquon. I've been to almost every arena. The dome there, the Superdome, is the loudest by far. Like, your ears hurt. And I believe that the Saints have a great offensive coordinator. And as much as I love the Eagles, for me, this is my lock of the week. I'm taking the Saints. Go ahead, Josh.
Doc, I couldn't agree with you more. I think New Orleans has it rolling right now offensively, defensively. They're putting up ridiculous amounts of points. The Eagles look bland and boring, you know, and a team that we thought were Super Bowl contenders. I'm taking New Orleans.
Colin?
I think the Eagles have a very serious weakness at head coach, but it's not like I'm thrilled about Dennis Allen and the Saints, so I'll give the Eagles an out right here.
Charlie, you're our anchor man. What do you think about this interesting game?
If A.J. Brown was playing, I might feel different, but I think losing him, they lose the deep threat. I think Smith is not the deep threat Brown is, although I love Smith as a player. He's just not A.J. Brown deep. I think that New Orleans will have enough in the tank to beat Philly and cover.
I want to thank everybody. This is a whirlwind day. We covered a lot of ground today on Rover Sports. I want to thank everybody, including Dr. Kevin Caddy, for logging in to Rover Sports. And as always, good night. And good sports.
The Sports Doctor is on the air. Dr. Bruce Grossinger with Rover Sports Tuesday evenings at 7:30 on WWDB. Dr. Bruce and the Rover crew blend sports and pop culture to keep you entertained and thinking. Brought to you by the Philadelphia Regenerative Medicine and Stem Cell Institute, where Dr. Grossinger and his team help athletes and chronic pain sufferers heal faster and stronger, often without the need for drugs or surgery. Visit online at phillysportsdoc.com and tune in to WWDB Tuesday nights at 7:30 for Rover Sports.